Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and good night. Hello, everyone. How's the power of the fakeologists out there? Thursday, December the 4th, 2025. It's 8:18 p.m. We're starting late. It's all my fault. My esteemed co-hosts are here. They've been ready to go since showtime. But my Google Chrome was just not cooperating. It was not moving. It's like somebody poured molasses into the gears. It just couldn't grind out anything. And I actually think it failed me last night because towards the end of the show, I think it must have frozen unbeknownst to me and it shut the stream off to FakoTube. So last night's show had two parts to it. Most of it and the tail end is two videos. And of course, Jim Rizzoli wrote to me and said, "What happened? Is Phil doing something to the show?" It always Phil or the Jews. I mean, it's always one thing or the other with him. But I said, no. I think Chrome cacked on me and cut the stream, but reestablished it without me knowing. And therefore, there were two pieces. I've since deleted both of them. And here we are. So let's say hi to CSL, Curvy Sex Ret Lady, down there somewhere. I think he said Florida.
That's right. I'm down here in Florida. Are you sure it was molasses? Because that's what we got down here in Florida. It wasn't maple syrup from Canada? On terrible Canada?
Yeah. Actually, it comes from Quebec. I don't think we have too much here. Yeah, maybe. Maple syrup is usually pretty thin, though. So I'm going
with good thicker. Point. Molasses is pretty thick.
It is. And we also have Frank the Salt Guy, an ounce of salt per day, coming in from Geelong, Victoria, Australia. Hello, Frank.
Ni hao.
And it's already tomorrow there, I believe.
Yes, so anybody that wants any betting information, let me know.
Well, actually, somebody was just telling me they wanted to get into hedging. And I didn't quite understand what it meant in relation to gambling. Maybe I'll start the show with you guys. Do you know what hedging is when it comes to gambling as a way of making money?
Is it a bit like Biff on Back to the Future, where he gets the magazine that tells him all the sports scores in advance? Is that what you're saying, Frank?
No, I've heard of hedging your bets, but I know that there is the possibility that if you use 6 or 7 betting programs, you can always make money on several races. You know, if you can back every horse in such a way that you'll always make money if you use several different
multiple choices or something, right?
Yeah, if you have several different sports bet programs.
Yeah, I think it has to. Well, I actually asked the bot because that's the best way to get an explanation. And it was basically what happens is you can place a bet based on the odds of the moment. And the odds, if they do change in your favor or another way, you can bet on the opposite bet. And if the odds are different, then you can arbitrage those two bets to make money. Now, you're not going to make a killing. You're going to make the difference between the new odds, basically. So you can make 200 on one and lose 180 on the other. And
that sort of thing. But always a sure win, yeah.
So it's a lot of work, and I dare say that options trading is quite similar to that. It's not the same, but one is called investing, and one is called hedging and gambling. So the differences there aren't a lot of differences between the two. It's a similar idea, maybe.
Is it less about making sure you win and more about making sure you don't lose?
Well, it's making sure you win every time, but you're not gonna kill it, but you're gonna make the vig, which I guess is the difference in between the odds, basically. So the odds do change all the time, and the odds change based on the bets as well. And that's how bookies and middlemen and market makers make money, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I believe so. The guy in the middle has to make money, and he makes money on the differences. So if you want to become a market maker type person, then you can do the same thing. But anyway, I know that's boring. Let's talk about fakery.
It's interesting that it might be the zeitgeist going on because I had of a mind to talk about money today.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Because right. I think of money as being the ultimate fakeology subject.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because we are told, you know, that government shouldn't be in charge of money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And real money is gold and silver, and now real money is Bitcoin, and now real money is this or that.
Mm-hmm.
The current thing is, you know, watching Bitcoin go down and watching gold and silver go up.
Okay, but, well, Bitcoin's going back up, just for everyone to know. But okay, and gold.
The view is, you know, I'm just saying, there's people expressing a lack of confidence in Bitcoin now, and as a result, silver and gold are going up, and the U.S. government has announced that silver is now going to be a metal of national interest, or I can't remember what the specific term is.
Silver and gold, silver
and all that stuff. Gold. You know, so people are talking this whole thing about real money is silver and gold. And
real money is obviously what you
agree it to be. And I guess the biggest bit of fakery that I think goes on is that should it be the one thing that is controlled by democracy, is how your money is established and how it's used and what the prices are going to be. That is one thing I think that elections are all about, because the only thing is money. Everything else is just fiddling at the edges, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, as you say, it's all about following the money, following the money. People do this for money. They fake for money. And the whole concept that we're sold all the time is that, you know, we can't have elected governments being involved in money and money supply. I suggest that is a completely in reverse.
So I have a question related to that too. So here in the free state of Florida, we use the United States dollar. What would you do? And this is a question for both of you, I guess. If all of a sudden you were to come into, let's say, $100,000 USD windfall, what would you do with it?
If it was me,
I'd invest it.
Right now, I'd probably buy silver.
Silver specifically?
Yeah.
What, would you buy physical silver? Would you
physical,
buy
I'd put it in silver? I'd put it in my garage.
Certificates, or
no,
actual
I'd buy
silver?
No, I'd buy the stuff.
You'd buy the blocks of metal. What's your address again? Just put it through.
Put it in my garage.
Else, would you?
Yeah. Now, that's what I would do. I was asked what
you
would I do.
You would do that? Really? You're not joking? Because that seems insane joking. To me.
Okay, so why do you?
What would you do with it? Like if there was a collapse, then which I don't really believe will ever happen in our lifetimes. But if there was a collapse, what would you do? Just shave it?
Well, it's interesting because I
trade it for food.
I heard a great video today with the guy talking about the things that you should buy. Hundreds of kilos of bicarbonate of soda, dental floss, Bic lighters.
Bicarbonate soda?
Yeah, but pairs of glasses. Soda, right? Pairs of, you know, cheap glasses that you buy from the supermarket, and you'd buy iodine. He just thought up all these really weird things that he said everyone is going to need in the event of some kind of collapse of the financial system. And he went back to Argentina as the example, with the last time it went down, where that's how people were trading. And he also talked about small bottles of vodka, the size that they sell on an airplane.
Yeah.
And his view was that the things that, you know, if you're fearful about, you know, having something to trade, it's useful things like that. I thought it was a fascinating thing, given especially as it did actually happen in Argentina, according to this fellow.
So would you expect that you could trade the silver? So you got $100,000 windfall.
No, I don't.
You converted to actual silver bars and metal.
I think silver, physical silver, would just be as useless as cash in that circumstance. It's going to be
my opinion as well. Yeah, at the end of the day, right?
Yeah,
it's goods and services that you can trade at that point. We're back to bartering.
Yeah, and
if such a situation were to occur,
yeah, people need to be able to, you know, light things. Oh, he's talked about cotton buds. What was the other thing? Some kind of oil he was talking about. Oh, yeah. The other thing he said would be very valuable is petroleum jelly.
Vaseline.
Yeah, because people are going to, because their cars are not going to work anymore, they're going to need to walk around all over the place. They're going to chafe, and they're going to need Vaseline. And that was one of the things that people were paying heavily for.
Well, Ab, you said you would invest it, right? So what would you invest $100,000, well, in this case, USD or Canadian dollar?
What would you invest it in?
I
don't want to give investment advice.
Giving advice. I was asked what I would do. That's all.
No. Okay.
Fair. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, if all of a sudden you came into $100,000, okay, you got your other bills paid, things are good, what do you do with that money?
I would. Well, it depends what you need. Do you want growth or income? That's always the question that all people need to know. So, do you need the money now? Do you need it to throw off income, or do you want it to grow?
Well, before that question was even asked,
you should pay off your debts.
You said you would invest, right? So presumably you're in that position where you would just invest. So what would you invest $100,000 in?
For me, I would probably go with income so I could quit my job.
Yeah, fair.
So I would invest in ETFs that provide income through either dividends or options premium.
Which is what I'm no longer having to trade your time for money. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, so I would maybe be able to wean myself off my slave job, because I need the income from the slave job to pay all the debts that come up every 5 seconds supporting a family. So, I would probably go for income and not growth. But everyone has to answer the question based on their age or circumstances.
It's personal, yeah. It's a personal question.
Do you want to work? Do you want to keep your job? There's so many questions. That's why I would never give advice. But for me right now, I'm interested in income. So I would try and generate income. So I'd use the capital in ETFs. Now, if I want gold in those ETFs, exchange traded funds, I could buy gold ETFs. I could buy gold plus gold producers. I could buy crypto ETFs. There's just so many out there right now. A lot of them are leveraged. A lot of them use options to make money and premium.
And how would you do it? Would you set up a trust fund? Would you do it in your own name, in your wife's name?
Good question.
Well, I
would you set up a charity? Would you?
I would just do what I'm doing now. It would be in my own name for my retirement plans, for my tax-free savings plans. And if they got maxed out, then I would just have a corporation.
So interesting that you talk about that, because again,
that's my day job.
Because of the zeitgeist thing going up, I've got a very interesting video. Your superannuation. We have a big superannuation scheme here in Australia.
Yeah, but that doesn't. You got to explain what that is, because we don't use those words.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that phrase. Superannuation. Right, so, is that what you said?
So what happened is that 20 or 30 years ago, the Australian government mandated that employers had to contribute, at that time it was 9% of your gross earnings to a fund.
Okay.
And that's it's all run by government regulation.
Who runs the fund?
Well, there's all sorts of superannuation funds set up.
Mm-hmm. Excuse the interruption, Frank. Are you saying superannuation? Annuation?
So annuation is, I guess, a word for meaning yearly. And to be superannuated is really something you get at the end of your working life.
Yeah.
I'll spell it for you on
the it derives from the word annuity. Annuity is a fund that pays money every year. That annus is a year in Latin. Annual annuity pays money every month.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these funds are now in Australia worth trillions of dollars, and people are told that it's your money and you've got.
Where is the money? Who manages it? Where is the money with these things?
It's with a lot of it is with insurance companies. From the before superannuation, there were insurance companies that existed. Mm-hmm. And there are many insurance companies. Anna would probably be someone who would be able to talk to you about how insurance policies worked, where people, when they retired, would cash in their superannuation policy or their insurance policy.
Is it typically enough to be considered to live off of?
Well, it's supposed to be enough so that people can retire without taking a pension.
Okay.
But well, the thing is that this is a very big thing in Australia. Superannuation is a very big thing. If you imagine now, it's now 12% of your income is forcibly removed and sent into these funds. And now the government is actually has control. This thing that I posted for you in the link there is a guy explaining to you that Australian superannuation is totally government controlled, and it's a scam from start to finish.
So it's okay. Fake.
I don't.
And it's interesting that recently the world's most amazing president, Donald Trump, has said that the USA should create a superannuation scheme like Australia's. So maybe coming to a pub near you.
Well, as you describe it, it sounds a bit like the United States Social Security system in some fashion. Or no matter what you do, a portion of your income is dedicated to Social Security.
Yeah, so it was interesting to hear Donald Trump say that that they should also have a superannuation scheme, because that's exactly what I thought the US system was, yeah.
Well, you called it a scheme. Back to you, Ab. What do you say?
Well, yeah, I don't. I'm just trying to get my windows working while you guys are talking, but I really.
Oh, well, we can keep this going. I thought you were interrupting.
You've got real issues.
Technical difficulties. Yeah, me and Frank can keep this going.
Okay. Well, here is some investment advice. If you've got debts, I think you should pay them off.
That's what I would think, right? If you were to get a $100,000 windfall.
If you've got $100,000 of debt, well, I would pay that off.
Yeah, I think that's wise.
So when I saw something that said, like, if you had a mortgage, right? Let's say you had a $300,000 mortgage remaining on your house and it was at 5.7 points. Just pay that off, because that's an automatic.
That's an investment, and it's worth 8, 10, 12%.
Right. You're going to get more back on the interest that you would not have paid than you could in any investment instrument.
Yeah. And no, remember,
I don't think that's good advice personally.
Okay.
And, well, I'm not a financial advisor.
No,
I'm not a financial advisor.
I don't think that's good advice. I think it's debt is good in some ways, and you should just, if you have a certain amount of money, 100 grand, then you could probably make more than the interest you pay on your the interest rate you pay on your house.
I could agree with that. Debt is generally considered bad, but also considered using.
Well,
the other
we are in a debt.
It's other people's money. And as long as you can use other people's money to profit yourself, well, then that's good debt.
Right. Yeah. We are in a debt-based system. But anyway, let's talk about
A jury-based system. But yeah, go ahead.
Let's get away from money now. I could talk all night, but I don't think the audience is here for that. They want to hear about fakery. They want to hear about all kinds of stuff related to that. So is there anything happening in the world of fakery? What have you guys been up to for the last week? We always have a Jew troll in the chat. Jake, I don't think the Jews are the only ones that have debt. So there's others as well. But that was yesterday's show. Did you guys tune into any of the shows? Do you want to discuss any of them? Do you want to discuss anything on the website, fakeologist.com, or the blog, fakeologist.blog? Is there anything over there you want to talk about? I just posted Susie's latest COVID mashup. Now I can see that there's some problem with the audio player. Now I can understand what people are talking about.
When I look at it through Firefox, the little audio player doesn't show on the page, but when I click on play a new window, it shows up.
Well, wait, it just showed up. That's now.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
This is Microsoft Edge.
Yeah, there you go.
I just tried that. So there's your player here. Okay, so that works. So yeah, there are some browsers that are not working. with it, but some do. So at your suggestion, I thought I'd bring up Microsoft Edge tonight and see if it worked.
I arrived at that. I tried when we first started, when I first started joining the show, I was using Firefox, and then I tried Chrome, then I tried Brave, and ultimately Edge, although Edge is seemingly based on the same browser engine, just like Chrome and Brave, Edge has been the most stable for at least the Restream Studio for me. But I don't really, I don't like Microsoft, though, for the privacy implications.
Yeah, I think they're all about the same, though. So I it's just a matter of preference, and different websites work differently with different browsers. It's really hard to keep a uniform website going with the different browsers because they all behave kind of differently. Boris said, "Is ICE a psyop?" By the way, I noticed in the comment section that anyone that's commenting as a YouTube person has a number at the end of their username now. I think that's affixed by YouTube, but I don't think Boris actually has 9113 at the end of his name. But anyway, hold on. I got a caller in her who just called in. I've been here a while. So caller in her, where are you calling from? What's your name? Blah, blah.
Hey, Fakeologist. Hey, Frank. It's Jay from Texas.
Yeah, sorry for holding you.
Jay from Texas.
Sorry for leaving in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, we just had some technical issues, like everyone does every single time they turn on their computer. Today was a little worse than normal, but go for it, Jay. What's on your mind?
No, it's fine. I just wanted to, because I was listening to the conversation, I wanted to jump in, but y'all wanted to stop talking about it, but
No, go ahead. You can talk about it.
There is something new because I don't know if you heard, but Elon Musk said that the new god of the world is going to be based in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's going to end currency.
I did not hear that. What is he talking about? What is he talking about?
I guess he's going to make his platform going to be like a central
banking
thing. Yeah. And then also...
he's been wanting to do that for a while, but I don't think he's having success.
Nah, but it's interesting, though, because since he's connected with that whole, you know, the online, you know, he's more connected with the internet online. That other guy, it's interesting because Mr. Beast, he's opening a financial thing in Saudi Arabia. It's just real interesting how everybody's getting into it. Who's Mr. Beast? He's some real big YouTuber and everything that all like the 2010 and up still, like, it's just really not important. It's just like how they're all getting involved in the because it's basically like AI. They're feeding data to AI, just like
the best business in the world is a bank. If anyone wants to be in a business, be in a bank, get a piece of every transaction. That's what I think.
Yeah,
what do you think, guys?
It's like Frank said.
That was the Office Space scam, right? If you saw the movie Office Space, right? They took a fraction of a penny off of every transaction, and they ultimately messed up their calculation, but they end up like millionaires.
Yeah, if you get like 1 million pennies, well, that's a pretty good deal, you know?
Yeah.
it's like what Frank said. Like, that is kind of the biggest psychology, because it's funny how he said currency and not money, because like money is something that keeps your time when you have it. That's why those precious metals, even copper, silver, and gold, and anything that's like tangible, you know, it's real interesting. Yeah, it's cool though. Like, yeah, what does he mean by that? Because when you really look at the currencies from all around the world, it is crazy. Like our money, our dollar goes far in their country, and they don't really. And I think that's the way to soak up time, just like with fakes, the whole fakeness, because like it is the biggest thing. Because if you put all your time in something that's really not there, then, you know, I don't know, it's just interesting on that. I don't know, like, if you think the same way, like, because that's what the cryptocurrencies are, is currencies, right? And they're like fractions and fractions of pennies here and there, which it's interesting, because
as much as I don't mind hearing you talk about it, it just proves that it's a pretty complex topic for most people, and no one explains money and currency to anyone. So
at all.
So far, I haven't heard anything that makes much sense to me tonight. No offense to everyone here, but I've been studying this kind of thing for my whole life and more recently, more intensely. So I can see that if I was trying to convince the masses about anything financial, I'd have a hell of a time because the literacy is pretty low overall for most people.
Well, hey, I have a question for Jay. So, Jay, if there was a collapse, I mean, would you invest in anything beyond, you know, bullets, beans, and Band-Aids? I mean, what were the things that you would invest in?
Really yourself as a human being, because the greatest, you know, the humans don't have any natural resource other than what's the limit of their own imagination. So, you know, if you have the raw materials and then you have the knowledge, or I think like you can make something out of anything, you know, and the money is just there to help push that creative. Yeah, like I would invest in things like tools and like tools, stuff that will help build, like pay for themselves in a way. Tools, things that are like renewable, that could self-perpetuate, you know, stuff that you could just set it and forget it. Like,
so what do you invest in, Jay?
Well, I have a family myself, and I really don't have much. I'm just trying to keep them up. But I do a lot of research about it, and you know, I really can't do nothing. So right now,
do you consider yourself part of the working class, the slave class, as much of us do? You're working for a living.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's
you don't have to give personal details. Tell us what you invest your money in. If you don't have any money to invest, then it's okay too.
No, I don't really have money.
All right. So you invest you're just making ends meet. That's what most people are. So
That is the majority.
If I would invest in something, it would be like water technology, because that's something that I know that everybody needs.
Well, what is water technology? A glass of water. Is that water technology?
Well, because drip irrigation or ways to desalinate or
okay. You know, we don't need that here on the Great Lakes because our water is fresh. So we got enough water to water all of North America till the end of time.
Yeah, we need a pipeline from over there down here in Texas. We need water.
Well, I don't think that wouldn't be that hard to build. I don't even understand why that's not an issue.
Yeah,
or an option.
Yeah,
they tried to make an oil pipeline from there, right?
Well, that's another story. Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call, Fakeologist. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you for being a regular caller.
What's the other guest name? I'm sorry.
CSL.
60 Lady.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Jay.
CSL. I don't think he goes by any other name. If he does, I've already forgotten it. So it's all good. CSL.
Cool.
We've talked once or twice, Jay. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you too. It's an awesome show.
Well, I appreciate you being a supporter of the show, Jay. I appreciate that. We got another caller though. Other caller,
have a good night.
Thank you, Jay. You're a good man. Good night.
See you, Jay.
Very kind soul, Jay. Other caller in, or where are you calling from? What's your name?
I'm calling from the South Shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway. I'm John the Beggar.
John the Beggar. You guys are the 1-2 regular punch of callers on this show, I would say. Hall of Fame.
Yes, we.
It's my favorite, though, to hear where John is calling from. That's my favorite thing.
More than Jay? Come on, you can't play favorites.
No. I like Jay. I'm just saying, like, Jay's from Texas, but John the Beggar is from the South Shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Well, I'm sure most people don't even know what that refers to.
I had to look it up.
In my mind, the South Side of Chicago song comes in. Has it got anything to do with Chicago?
No.
No.
Well, it's Detroit-ish.
Well, let John explain it.
Well, you have the St. Lawrence Seaway. You come in from the ocean to the St. Lawrence River. You get on all the locks. You go through Lake Ontario. You get on the locks, go around Niagara Falls, go to Lake Erie, and then you can head up towards Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit, and then head up a little farther into that little puddle called Lake St. Clair, up the St. Clair River into Lake Huron. You can go all the way around to Lake Michigan and Chicago and Milwaukee, or you can go up through another set of locks, go up into Lake Superior, and go all the way to Duluth, and you can come all the way back. And it's one
Duluth,
of the great
waterways
in the world.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
That's incredible.
It is. It's an incredible thing, and it's amazing. I've been told that many people in other countries don't even know it exists.
Well, I think just your name helps explain it to the world if they care to look it up. It even has, yeah. But it is a big deal. The biggest lock system is to circumvent the Niagara River, and that canal is called the Welland Canal, named after the town that it passes through. I don't know if the town was there before the canal, but anyway, it's called the Welland Canal, and that's a series of locks that can take the biggest freighters from Lake Superior, I guess, which is where the biggest freighters would come from, with the iron ore, bauxite, and all that.
If I may ask, I'm sure John called in for a different reason, but if I may ask, since he explained the South Shore, the St. Lawrence Seaway, which I just loved that introduction, why are you John the Beggar?
Because I'm John. I'm disabled. I live in public housing, and I live on food stamps too.
Well, so that's the beggar part.
That's the beggar. Okay.
Okay, but you're not actually out there with a cup and
no,
one leg.
I don't do that. No, I'm out with my power wheelchair, and I do have money.
Okay, so you're not really begging.
No. It was just because I think you.
Well, asked, John the Beggar is biblical, right?
I don't know that. I just put it on because someone talked about money once or paying money, and I said, "Well, you're not going to get any from me. I'm a beggar," or something like that. And it kind of stuck.
I love it. I love the name, man. I love the name, and I appreciate you calling in.
Okay. Well,
so what do you get when you win $100,000, or you get a windfall from your great auntie Mame, John? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
With
it? There is nobody. I'm 67. Everyone's all gone.
Yeah, you're the one they're waiting to die to get your money in your family.
They'll get his power wheelchair.
Yeah, they'll get my power wheelchair. That's what they'll get.
You know, there's a huge difference between the cost of buying and selling those. I bought one for my dad shortly before he died, and I did about 2/3 of it, getting rid of it, even though it was not very old.
Incredible price. They can be relatively cheap, and they can be very expensive. I mean, you can get some for like $500 on Amazon. But they're not really, really good. And then you can get others, or you can go $25,000,
$30,000, $40,000. Well, and then if you get the van to transport it too, right? The van with the lift and all that.
Yeah, I depend on the bus system for that.
Okay, what do you got, John? Let's not get too personal here because
thank you for entertaining my question.
Okay, I'm against any water being piped out of the Great Lakes to anywhere else.
Why?
He lives down on, because it'll drop the water levels and it'll affect the quality of the water. And we already take enough water out. Nestle's takes a ton of water out from a swampy area on the western shore.
I know it's Lake near Michigan. Michael Moore's house, but I honestly don't see how pipe. There's so much water; it would be like a drop in the proverbial bucket, even if they pipelined it out.
I would disagree with you on that.
I just can't see it.
Any water.
Do we need to ask how much water is in the Great Lakes to for it to drop even an inch? I don't even see if it's possible.
Well down here in Florida, they have what they call the Florida Aquifer, which they claim to be a lake under the ground, and it's essentially unlimited in quantity. They don't really know how much water there is, and it's just pumped indefinitely.
Wow.
But if the water table falls, you get those stinkholes, those big
stinkholes. That does happen.
I'm asking Gemini.
Drawing out water.
I'm asking Gemini how much water is in the Great Lakes. Do you want to care to guess how many liters? And I don't even think this is a good guess, but I don't even think they know for sure. I guess you can calculate it.
Is this Great Lakes in total or just one specific?
Okay, well, I guess they could. Okay, do you want to have a guess?
Well, I'm going to, it's 90% of the world's fresh water. That's
It's one fifth
of the world's fresh water.
It says it's one fifth of the world's surface fresh water and 90% of the surface fresh water in the United States.
Wow.
Okay, it says 22.8 quadrillion liters of water. So if you built a pipeline to Texas, how much do you think you could siphon out?
I wouldn't siphon out one bit of it. They can go desalinate water out of the Gulf of America, what used to be the Gulf of America.
I've seen both the Gulf of Mexico or Gulf of America, and I personally live on the Atlantic coast of Florida. And I had an opportunity a few years ago to travel to a city that John the Beggar mentioned in his story there earlier about the St. Lawrence Seaway called Duluth, Minnesota. And I had an opportunity to travel to, I forget which of the Great Lakes it was, but I asked to go there before I traveled back. And it was just like the ocean to me. It was a freshwater ocean, obviously, but it looked the same to me as the beach in Florida, except it was, and there was even a tide, you know, with water coming and going. It was fascinating.
I didn't think there was any tide in the Great Lakes, or just an inch.
Appeared to be, right? There was just like waves that appeared to be. Yeah,
waves come in, and you have to watch out. You can get a rip current that'll drag you out. All sorts of things like that can happen to you.
Wow.
It was fascinating to me to see it. Like, if you had not told me that I wasn't looking at the beach at the ocean, I would have thought I was looking at the beach at the ocean. But no, I was looking at a lake.
They're incredible, and the fakeologist knows that. He lives on Lake Unterrible, so he's very much... Well, anyways, another thing I wanted to say was that salt at one time was as valuable as gold in some places.
It was originally money, yeah. And in fact, that's where the word salary comes from and where the word soldier comes
right.
from, because soldiers were paid, Roman soldiers were paid in salt. And everyone's heard the phrase, not being worth your salt.
Definitely not being worth your pay.
And good King Venceslas made his fortune from the Polish salt mines.
Yeah, salt was a valuable commodity. It's not as valuable today, is it, Frank?
Well, I think it is.
you think it is, but I mean, you don't get as much wealth as good King Wenceslas.
Yeah, from a nutrition perspective, but yeah.
Salt has become the invisible commodity which drives the entire economy of the world, because salt makes everything. It makes paint, plastic, glass. Everything comes from salt.
Salt in every food, almost.
But well, that's a tiny fraction.
It's the basic seasoning, right?
But that's a tiny fraction. Salt for food would luckily be 1% of total salt consumption.
Anyway, I just did a quick calculation. If you ran a 10-foot pipe from the Great Lakes to Texas, it would use approximately 0.008% of the total volume of the Great Lakes.
That is insane.
Once they started doing it, someone else would want some, someone else, and I would contend to you it would affect the ecosystem and the water system in the Great Lakes, and we would end up with less. I would be afraid to do it even on that grounds.
Yeah. Well, they have all kinds of rules and laws that say they're not going to do it, but I just don't think it would make a difference. But
are they already bottling water from the lake?
Yeah, but again, that's like saying they're stealing air from the atmosphere. It's not measurable. It's infinitesimal.
Inconsequential, yeah.
Yeah, it's infinitesimal. You need calculus to figure out how much. It's nothing. But anyway.
Well, just that there, right? You're saying it's 0.0000 something just to even put a 10-foot pipe all the way to Texas.
I like Till says, Canada has been siphoning fresh Michigan water for centuries. That's a laugh.
That is. But hey, I wanted to ask, does anyone know anything about this NASCAR trial?
No. What are we talking about? Racing.
No, I haven't.
There's supposed to be a big trial. Michael Jordan is involved in it. I haven't seen any TV coming out of the trial, which makes me believe a little bit that it's for real. But it could also be fake just to pump up the sport, which is dying.
We're talking Michael Jordan, the basketball guy?
Yeah, he invested in a car or something, in a team.
Basketball is dying?
No, NASCAR.
Oh, NASCAR is dying. Okay.
The stock car racing, it's been going downhill, and they're having lawsuits and everything else.
Okay.
Have they started racing electric cars yet, John?
They do that in Europe. I know they have a race in Moscow every year. It's the Electric Grand Prix, the open wheel cars. And they're electric.
Because they must be incredibly quick.
Well, I really don't know. I just heard that they have them, and I saw some news articles about it. But I don't know about that. But I know they do have it.
Okay. I don't know anything about it. I can't help you there.
Okay. Well, the fact that there was no TV kind of makes me think that it's probably legit. But another thing I thought about was years ago we had people protesting war weapons being transported on trains, and they supposedly sat themselves on the railroad tracks and had their legs cut off. And I'm thinking that was probably just a psyop. Do you remember that, anyone? About 30 years ago?
No, I do not. Lucas just joined the room. Lucas, have you heard of that?
No, sir. No, I haven't heard of it myself.
Yeah, it happened many, many years ago, and I'm thinking that was probably a psyop.
Well, we'll have to send it to the Fake Nukes Phil Department of Investigation.
Hey, Skyfish real quick asked a good question in the chat, speaking of salt, and maybe Frank can help answer this. They said, I've heard that salt in the ocean is what gives its title pool. Have you heard anything along those lines, Frank?
I've never heard that. The only thing I can tell you about the tide as a fact is that a high tide corresponds to the lowest air pressure in any one day, and low tide corresponds to the highest air pressure during the day.
So why do they bring the moon into it?
Well, as I said, to me, it's the
because that
the world
makes sense.
Is clearly, in my opinion,
yeah,
a wet cell run on electromagnetism. The moon and the sun have an electromagnetic effect, so I think that's probably the connection that that's been talked about. You know, the because the water has an electrical conductivity, it's affected by the presence of the moon and the sun. It's possible.
I don't buy the moon being responsible for the tides either. Is that what you're suggesting, Skyfish?
The issue is about, as I said, this thing, it's called the barometric effect. And the barometric effect is something that is well known amongst people that fish or in navigation or people that operate ports, but very few people know about it. In any one day, the high tide corresponds to the lowest air pressure. In other words, when the air is not pushing the water down, the air is pushing the water down is what I'm suggesting to you. It can only push it down if there's a roof over the top of us.
Right. A container.
I like that. Firmament.
Yeah. Okay. So sure what's happening is that. Anyone can look at the barometric effect. You will find that during the day when the air pressure goes up and down, that the tides in that area are affected by that in the obverse way. Low air pressure, high tide, high pressure, low tide. And the other interesting thing about tides is that closer to the North Pole, where there's said to be a large hole sucking the water in, the tides vary by 30 feet. And where it was in Tasmania, right on the edge of the Southern Ocean, the tide varies less than 1.5 meters, less than a meter.
Oh, wow.
That's right on the far south of Australia, where the Southern Ocean connects. So there's very low tides in the far south, and very high tides in the center of the earth where the sucking hole is.
And here in Florida, they're 20, 30 feet.
Yeah. And on the far north of Australia, they can be 20 or 30 feet.
Okay.
Wow.
So I hope that answers your question. I'm suggesting to you that it is possible that the conductivity of the ocean has an effect, but I don't know. Because I think everything's about electricity, electromagnetism in our world.
It's an electric universe.
Are there ties in the freshwater lakes?
No.
But what's that? Does your theory hold up for the freshwater lakes?
Well, they're landlocked. There's a tide, but it's only a couple of inches, as I understand it, in the Great Lakes.
Okay, John the Baker, there's a question in the chat.
Sorry. I guess the question you're asking, it could do, because obviously freshwater is less conductive than seawater, but that's not my theory. That's the...
That salt has very little to do with this, what you're saying, right?
No, the reverse. If the tides are affected by seawater, that makes sense that it's electrical, and that the fact that there is very little tide in the Great Lakes indicates they're not affected because they don't have salt in it. It makes a reasonable conjecture that the salt water content is affecting the tides.
Okay, there's a question for John the Beggar. It says, from Till, can you ask John the Beggar when and how he started waking up to the deception of this reality?
Okay, the deception of this reality, I can even go back when I was a little kid and was taken to Florida, and I thought we would find out the reason of what happened to Lincoln, and none of it made any sense. But I went on with my life, being brainwashed and everything else like everyone else was. And I think I started to really wake up, probably when I became disabled and I had some time to look at things. And I started looking at events and questioning things. And 9/11, I started to question that. And then I had remembered questions about the moon because my mother had yelled at me and I believed in the landing of the moon. And I said, yes. But I look at it and I just said, this is baloney. We couldn't even call 400 miles away in rural Indiana at that time. And yet they were talking from the moon to the White House. What a bunch of nonsense. But this is how I little by little came. And then I started looking into Sandy Hook and other things. And then it just kept, this is just more and more bullshit. And, it just, as a friend of mine says, who he's awake, he says something in our programming, he said somewhere they made a glitch. They didn't get all the connections right. So, it comes on you in little bits and spurts. And sometimes you remember things that people said. And I even remember when my two neighbors that worked at power plants told me they made clouds. And I didn't believe them, but I do today from, the cooling towers.
There's a very famous YouTube from the guy that's in an English show about Jeremy something or other. Have you seen that? Where he's at the one of the NASA cloud generating places.
Down in Mississippi, I think it was. I saw that.
Yeah. Very impressive thing. Jeremy Clarkson did a video YouTube on it.
Yeah. Well, I was, when I was disabled, I didn't have to work anymore, and I had got the apartment, and I was looking out the window, and I saw them streaking across the sky all the time. And then I'd see all of a sudden the disbursement would go wild and the weather systems would pull. And I was saying, holy crap, what's going on? But I think the fact that I got lots of time and I had an internet connection, it helped me wake up.
But you've obviously got a lot of people are in your position without any desire to look under the hood like you have, John.
Well, there are some people that don't. But when you keep getting things, you start seeing more and more things, and you start going, wait a minute. And then I saw, ran into the Fakeologists webpage, and they started claiming this was fake, that was fake, and I started looking at some of that stuff, and darn, you know, every time there's some dictator in the world and we have to go take him out, it turns out that our own people gave him money and built him up. And it seems more like
right,
a game.
Right.
Just like a game, but there were little breaks in it, like when I was a kid seeing that at the Forbes Theater. And then I remember one time a neighbor of mine got hurt and a policeman said, what happened? Did anyone see it? And I said, I did. And I told him. And then later on in the newspaper, it was a different account. But I had actually witnessed the accident. So I started a little in my head there. And well, that's not right.
That's totally weird. They asked you what happened and you told them and they gave a different account altogether.
Yeah.
Well, that even ties into your question, Frank, right? So John the Beggar is telling us a story about his availability of time, his disability allowing him to pay attention with internet access and so forth. But you asked a question about, you know, what is it? And I don't think John even knows. What is it about him specifically, unlike others, that said, you know what? This ain't right. This is not correct. Something's going on here. Because there's plenty of others that could have witnessed the same with similar situation, time, energy, otherwise, you know, disability, et cetera, who would have been like, okay, well, this is just everyday life. This is just the way it is. This is the way things are. I'm curious about that too. What is it that makes someone go, huh, this ain't right?
Not to chime in, but for me, it was the bad acting. And like you see the bad acting in these interviews with these so-called eyewitnesses, or I like, I don't know who came up with lie witnesses, but that's a very funny term. But it's like Mystery Science Theater level, like B movie acting. These people that say, "Oh, I saw the shooting," and they're so terrible, man. I'm just like, come on, man. I know people that have died in real life. I know people that have been shot, you know, have witnessed shootings, and they don't act like these frauds on these news channels, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I know that my dead daughter would want you to get rid of guns.
Right. They have a shoehorned in freaking agenda. Oh, by the way, what was that with that?
The last thing my daughter said to me before she died is, "Daddy, can you make them get rid of guns?"
Yeah, the Florida shooting, what the Nicholas Cruz, what I forget the name of it, but the oh god,
the Orlando that bad one at the gay theater thing, or
David
no?
Hogg guy. They did an AI, like literally they resurrected the guy from AI and made like, oh god, it's so cringy. I don't know if you guys have seen that, the supposed victim of that. It's so cringy.
If you have a link, I can look it up, or if you can.
Oh, he's like a Hispanic man. I can't remember, but he calls himself Guac or something. Oh God, it's so crazy.
The Stoneman Douglas shooting or
yeah,
whatever
yeah, yeah, yeah. The Nicholas Cruz, the David Hogg one. They brought a guy back from the dead, quote unquote dead, and that his parents had an AI reconstruction of him saying like, "Hey, man."
Oh yeah, wow. I remember that now. It's coming
so
back.
Crazy.
Oh,
that's yeah.
Creepy, isn't it? It's so creepy, man.
Yeah, that well, was that was recently. Was... That was
yeah.
Recently.
Look that one up, Av, if you can.
Okay. If you, I can look it up if you tell me, and I can post a link if you like. Give me a few search terms.
It's the shooting in Florida was Stoneman Douglas High School,
yeah,
and that's then right. David Hogg Marshall was the
Douglas High School.
Yeah.
High school.
Yeah, sorry, I don't remember the name. It just
it's like AI.
I got juice pills.
I only remember because I am in Florida. I don't necessarily pay attention to them other than just from a fakeology perspective. I mean, all school shootings are fake from my perspective. But
yes, me too. AI commercial.
I agree. There might be a small few in inner cities where someone goes and shoots one or two people.
Or yeah, maybe someone discharges a gun. That I don't know how they get past the metal detectors, though. So,
well, back in the old days, they didn't have them. I know when I went to school, there was metal detectors.
Oh, yeah. Was there people shooting in Detroit? Were there people shooting in Detroit?
Oh man, here in Florida, we brought our shotguns to school and cleaned them. We cleaned them during ag class.
Joke and Oliver brought back to life in AI model. Here we go.
Oh, you found it.
You can share your screen if you want.
Oh, to share screen? Okay.
Yeah, that's easier. That way you don't have to.
All right, let's do that. It's very technical.
Boris has had enough of this.
Has he? He doesn't want it anymore.
See you next week. Well, he lives over in Bulgaria.
We're getting into real fakeology now. He's leaving
one
us.
One of the victims of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School mass shooting, Joaquin Oliver, was one of the 17 lives lost
full screen
in a tragedy in Parkland.
But tonight, there's an AI-generated version of Joaquin showing him being interviewed on what would have been his 25th birthday. Local 10's Byron Tollefson talked to his parents about it all, and he joins us live to explain. Byron?
Yeah, I talked with Joaquin Oliver's father earlier this evening, and on Joaquin's birthday, his father says he wanted to honor him by making an impact.
Joaquin Oliver would have been 25 this week, a life one of 17 victims cut short by the mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland in February 2018.
The person that went through the wars is Joaquin, not me. I'm here, and I have to be a father still.
His father, Manuel, says even through the heartbreak of losing his son, he wants to show that his memory is being kept alive.
I like to remember my son not as the victim from Parkland, but as the kid, the 17-year-old kid that is becoming an icon.
On his birthday, Monday evening, victims, families, and survivors called for an end to gun violence at a memorial wall in Joaquin's honor in Washington.
Thank God they showed guns. We forgot what they looked like.
His parents chose to welcome guests through an AI-generated video of Joaquin.
Then you're invited on August 4th in Washington, D.C.
An amazing tool to raise Joaquin's voice. What we have been doing is just
oh my God.
An extension of what Joaquin was already fighting for.
This coming just hours after journalist Jim Acosta, with Joaquin's parents' permission, released an interview with Joaquin's AI model, a discussion about reducing gun violence.
Joaquin, it's Jim Acosta. I was wondering if you could tell me what happened to you.
I appreciate your curiosity. I was taken from this world too soon due to gun violence while at school. It's important to talk about these issues so we can create a safer future for everyone.
Manuel emphasizes the AI version of Joaquin reflects what he stood for and part of the legacy he leaves behind.
These are not things that we write and upload. These are things that Joaquin wrote and we upload.
Wow.
It's not just that. Manuel says he and his wife also wanted to do this so they could hear the
Donny Osmond looks pretty sad as well. Isn't
we're live in Parkland.
Byron Tollefson. Very Donny-like.
Well, you know, and then wasn't the sheriff like he was involved in was he in Vegas or one of the other PSYOPs do it's so fake.
I think
man.
You're right. Yeah, that's the same guy that was related to the Vegas shooting.
His last name was Israel. That's all I remember. I don't remember the rest of the details, but it's so cringy, man. So fake.
Does anyone know the history of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas? Because I do.
No.
No,
we don't.
Went around raping and pillaging, cutting down all the trees and destroying the wildlife around the Suwannee River. And then she came in at the last minute and started this crusade to save the last little bit. And people claim she was a great woman that saved it all. She saved a tiny portion after her family had looted it all. It was a fraud, a true fraud. So to name a high school after her, it's a fraud too.
Why do you know that, John? That's interesting. Like, is that from Michigan or what?
In history class in college. And I remember
I never heard of her.
The events, and the professor said, if you look at this very carefully, all she did is came in and saved her family's name at the end. And if you looked at it, what happened, she may have preserved 10%. But the family just raped the other place and caused all sorts of ecological problems for many years.
It's as the Rockefeller School of Medicine, though, John.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the Rockefeller School of Sickness, and this stuff goes on, and it's terrible that they'll have some family member or relative come in and play. Oh, I'm the different one in the family. I'm the good one, and it's all just a hoax that they've staged right from the beginning, probably.
Wow.
Bye. Well, John, you brought a lot to the table tonight. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
We've been here for about an hour, so we usually wrap up around an hour just because we don't want to bore the audience with whatever we're talking about, although it's been a pretty good show tonight, I think. So well, thank you, John.
When are we going to have the John the Beggar show? I know you've been asking him that.
Well, I think every night's the John the Beggar show, actually.
When he calls in.
I call in almost every night. Oh, I would like to say to Lucas, I have a similar opinion of our church that you have, that you expressed the other night.
Oh, yeah, please. Well, can you elaborate? What are you referring to?
I believe Jim Rizzoli said you are a Roman Catholic. I am too. And that you do go and you believe, but you have a lot of questions about the upper management of the church.
Oh, absolutely. And Frank, you're Catholic too, right?
Well, no, I'm actually, my father was Catholic, but I was baptized as a Lutheran. I don't think there's any actual difference, but I don't think Lutherans believe in Martin Luther anymore anyway. So they're all ecumenical now.
The theme song threw me off. I thought you were a Catholic or something. I thought I heard that somewhere along the line.
Our Father that art in heaven. Yeah,
that was the Lord's Prayer. I brought that up
because I'm a big fan of the Lord's Prayer just because I think it works.
I never heard that version. That's a great intro too. I really like the song.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, I heard that in elementary school because we used to say the Lord's Prayer in elementary school, and then I think the music teacher brought that in as something that spiced things up.
Tim, what are you? Your Lutheran background or what?
I'm nothing. We have no religion. Any
you weren't raised anything?
Nope, not a thing.
Oh shit. Okay.
Agnostic as hell.
Oh no. We'll pray for you.
Well, I know. I'm sure everyone does at this point. But yeah, it's just you can go. Well,
we appreciate the platform. You let these all these wackos and me comment on.
As long as we keep the theme somewhat fakeologist related, well, that's good. I don't.
I think the whole reason fakeology exists is simply because of the spiritual war. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you got to call out all the fake nonsense, man. I mean, it's ongoing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's never ending. Although it's been really slow these last 2 weeks, I think.
It has been. They're not doing much. That's what I was when I started picking up this news about trials. I was scratching. Was this something? But I'll have to look some more into that.
No, I think the stuff happening at the moment is all about money. That's why I thought that was the zeitgeist. It's
money's pretty good.
Bitcoin, gold, silver.
The big economy shrinking, layoffs highest since pandemic, manufacturing shrinking. Oh, we got the Q's DC pipe bomber. I never heard that story. And what is the other story? The alleged guy from Afghanistan who wasn't screened properly that went all the way from Bellingham to Washington, D.C., two people in the face. I mean, give me a break. But that one's also pretty quiet. I guess you got the probably the fake gunboat shooting where they say they're trying to stop drug traffickers from what? Taking a powerboat from Venezuela to Miami? Are you kidding me? So there's that
all night.
And then say they supposedly double tapped them.
And then they were investigating.
There was like survivors in the water that they killed, according to the story.
But I tell you this, the fakeology perspective is getting more traction in the online areas that I travel in because
okay, that's good.
People are tired of the bullshit, man. Like, it's so fake. It's so gay. It's so annoying. Like, they're tired of it, you know? So I kind of use some of Tim Osmond's terms. He's pretty good with coming up with the phrases. I don't agree with him on everything, but he's pretty good. And
he's definitely created a framework, like a framework of language to describe it.
Yeah. Well, I think that guy, I don't want to accuse him of anything. I think he studied NLP, man. He knows how to come up with
neuro-linguistic programming. Yes.
Oh, I use that all the time on myself. What are you doing?
You know what? It's got its own worth. You know, it's not always malicious, right? But he's very talented, man. With the way he describes stuff like Scooby-Doo Justice or You know, all these terms he comes up with, it like
off world stage, etc.
The world stage, all that. Man, he's very talented, but I also disagree with him on a lot of stuff too. So this is why I like the show. I don't want to keep taking over
but in fairness, you know, that's a great
comment. No, you're fine, Lucas. Glad to have you.
You've really got to take people for their strengths, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Really, the key thing. Everyone is got a load of weaknesses, but we all contribute something, I think.
That's, and if that's my position, right? Is to take the information in, no matter who says it or what. And rattle it around upstairs, and if it works, keep it. If it doesn't, discard it.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. So I'll sign out with that. God bless you guys. You guys have a good night.
Thank you for calling in.
See you, Lucas.
All right, take care.
God bless you. Yeah. Well, yeah, hi, John. The main thing we like to do is just be kind. Just be kind to each other because we're all sort of on eggshells around regular people. So I think in this community, we can create a safe space. I hate all those woke terms, but I think in general, just be kind is a good phrase. And if you can't be kind, get out.
General, these are controversial topics for most everyday people.
Yeah. So we can at least be fairly kind to each other because we're all on the same page.
Definitely. And remember, Pearl Harbor Day is December 7th. So right. Remember to question Pearl Harbor. And with that,
the Pearl Harbor hoax.
All a good night.
Good night, John the Beggar from the South.
I'm missing you already, John.
See you, John.
Yeah, December 7th is on a Sunday. We have an audio chat on the Sunday. So perhaps someone then can bring it up there. Otherwise, maybe Phil will review it on Thursday if he can. Dodge the Rizzoli bullets fired at him on a regular basis, we might have to tell Jim to calm down. I think there's sort of a love interest going on there. He's so worried about his long lost son, Fake Nukes Phil. It's kind of strange. That's the vibe I get from it. I don't know if you guys listen to the show.
Have they had a falling out? Have they?
Yes.
Well, they kissed and made up when I was last on the show.
Well,
a couple Thursdays ago,
it's still ongoing.
Oh, is it?
But basically, Phil Salt, if you haven't heard, was just questioning the veracity of some of the people that said they went.
No, I'm sorry, I did hear that. I'm on Phil's side. I thought I made that pretty clear last couple of times I've been on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you're with me too.
I just thought, what is going on with these people with this? I mean, she looks like a bloke, and the guy with the mustache looks like a woman, and it's just too much.
Skyfish doesn't want any more Jim, please. I know there's certain people like certain other people, and don't like them as well. So
yeah, well, I don't think that's how it's going to work, Skyfish. It's about getting all those points of view out there, isn't it?
Well, you can't please all the people all the time. Only some of the people some of the time.
Went to a garden party.
Well, if people for as against, then we're on the right track. I think that's how you're supposed to gauge these sort of things. So I don't get a lot of feedback either way on most guests, but
I'm sure you get plenty on every week.
And those guys do, you guys do, Lynn does. We got a really pretty good lineup of very reliable people, which is more important than really even the content. Because it's hard to do a show on your own.
Well, it's like you said, it's about showing up, right?
It really is. It is about showing up and being there on time. And an hour is enough time to take from people every night. I can't believe so many people show up every
week. I can't believe you can do this night after night, Tim. That's what I can't believe.
I wonder that, too. How can you dedicate an hour every night, hour plus?
Well, and it's an hour to do the show and an hour to get it out. There's that. It doesn't automatically upload itself. So there are things to do. And that's why I try and take a few weeks off here and there. So we'll probably take a week or two off during Christmas just to catch up on other things. But we're still doing it. I've got an automated process, really. But when things like the browser stops working, that really throws a monkey wrench. And I really
technical
don't know.
Difficulties, yeah.
Well, yeah, that I don't know what Google.
Well, I need to tell you,
yeah.
That as far as I'm concerned, you're doing God's work.
Thank you, Frank.
If you challenge all of Satan, I mean, whether you realize it or not, you are challenging Satan every yeah. way, as far as I can see it.
Thank
and,
you.
I think, you know, the fact that you allow people like me to come on and do our thing, I've said this 100 times, but 101 times won't hurt. I'm very grateful.
Well, thank you, yeah. Frank.
You let me share the room with Frank, too. I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, there you go. Oh, Frank,
Frank,
you're on
Frank
the
accepts me, it seems. So thank you, Frank.
Well, Frank is here on the weekend. You can come by on the weekend to the Discord too.
Okay.
If you want. Everyone's welcome.
It's just very early, that's all.
Well, it can be whatever time. There are people that come on later too.
Although it's some
yeah,
of
Frank's
those
only,
things
Frank's one of the few guests that does actually participate in the Discord though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Well, no, we got Esoteric. Yeah, he participates. And
but yeah, but he doesn't come on this show. There's
Jim Rizzoli and Fake Nukes Field don't participate.
No, they're not on it either. No, it's...
Neither does the most famous
Lynn. Lynn doesn't either.
Lynn Ertel.
She was there briefly, but she has technical trouble, even though she was in the computer business, so go figure. But, yeah. There isn't a lot of crossover. It's quite interesting. People love their technology gardens, and they stay in them. They rarely stray outside. I like to go all over the place and hop
like
around.
Rachel in the forums and so on, yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. People just are in
there. Because Rachel's not in the Discord. Rachel's in on the show, but she's all over the... She's the most prolific forum poster we've got.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she outstanding.
Was, yeah, that's fakeologistforums.com. That's a separate server. But she's been on the Discord. She speaks quite well. And I was hoping to get her regularly.
Oh, yeah, no, she does. I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize,
Rachel.
She does participate.
On regularly, though. I wanted to get her on regularly, but she doesn't want to do that, which is fine. Thank you, Jenna.
Is that Lynn?
She's Psy Girl.
That's what I thought.
But she doesn't always make it either. Yeah. She has some of the most technical trouble getting in. So go figure.
Monica didn't take to the biochar communitarian program, said it, by the way.
Does that make it suspicious?
It does for me.
I want to know, do you think she was in jail for...
No, I do not. No, I don't.
For doing the video.
I think that entire story is implausible and just not true.
Okay. Well, I think there are more doubting Thomases than there are people that believe it. Really, I do. It's interesting. So it's worth questioning. There's no offense taken, really.
Sorry, while we're on the biochar, I only recently found out that the whole world is covered with a layer of biochar indicative of, you know, the fact that the world was destroyed. Are people aware of that? Is everyone aware of that?
Probably I'll dig in my backyard and see where mine is. Yeah. Is that what you're saying? I can find it?
The whole world has this layer of biochar indicative of total destruction.
Oh, brother. Well, didn't it get washed away in the flood?
No, this is after the flood.
That sounds like another show.
That sounds like another show, exactly. All right, guys. Thanks, CSL. Thanks, Brent.
Thanks, CSL.
Thanks, callers.
Thanks, Cooler Runners, yeah.
Now, I'm trying to get Brian Toohey on from The Fix Is In. My best...
Is he coming on soon?
Well, no, I just sent him an email now while we were talking. So we're going to get him on sometime.
Is that the guy that you deputized Lucas to get on the show?
Yeah,
that's right.
He's doing a good job.
I'm anxious. I mean, I really want to talk to that guy.
All right, we'll get him on for you. So that'll be sometime, hopefully before Christmas, but I think we're running out of days.
Thank you, Tim.
Christmas.
He said holiday, so I didn't know what he was talking about in the emails.
Yeah, we'll get him on. We'll get some more guests, and we'll get that going. All right, yeah, thanks, Lucas. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you on the weekend at shortfake.com/discord. And Sunday we'll have somebody on, maybe the Prophet of Fiction again. I'm not sure people are digging that. A few people like it, but we'll see.
Oh, I like him.
Oh, you like him? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep going. All right, guys. Take care and arrivederci.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Peace.
Peace. Thank you.